Yeah, Dave. You sit at the table, I'll sit here.
So Rabosai, Parshas Mishpatim obviously is Bein Adam L'Chavero, if we had to isolate one Parsha. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says, take a look at the word V'Ela, that opens up our Parsha, and figure out the Gematria, only the Chassam Sofer can pull this off, figure out the Gematria of the word V'Ela. 42. So if you take a look in Parshas Mishpatim, says the Chassam Sofer, up until, but not including the Parsha of Shemitah, you have 42 mitzvahs. Shemitah is number 43. Now, if you have a couple of hours, maybe you'll figure it out, see if he's right. I don't have the time for this, so I'm going to rely on Chassam Sofer. In any event, he says that there are 42 mitzvahs in this parasha that are Bein Adam L'Chavero. And those are called Mishpatim. And after the Torah exhausts those 42, the 43rd is Bein Adam L'Makom, and that's the mitzvah of Shemitah. I just wanted to add that in truth, the mitzvah of Shemitah has a combination of both Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chavero, so it's kind of like the overlap. In any event, you've all heard of the Sfas Emes. He was one of the great Hasidic giants of Ger, and he was a great darshan. So he wants to darshan this parsha of Mishpatim, and there are many parts to his drasha. I'm just going to mention a few parts. He goes on and on. But basically what he tries to do is he tries to see in every mitzvah of Bein Adam L'Makom some sort of a concept in our relationship to God. In other words, Alpi Drush, again, you know, the Torah can be understood on so many different levels, but Alpi Drush, which is another way of looking at the Torah, so he says that when it says in the parasha of Pikadon, Pikadon means when I take an object of mine and I deposit it under your tutelage, meaning you're supposed to supervise the object, so it says over there, Ki Yitain, when he gives Kesef, O Kalim, he gives him either money or he gives him utensils. And then what happened was that while the object was in the possession of the Shomer, the Nifkad, it was stolen. And the Torah says, Ki Yimotze Aganov, when the Ganav is found, he has to pay double, Shalim Yishalim Shnayim, he pays what's called Kefel. And it's a very fascinating halacha because at some point or another, this is a Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Bava Metzia, at some point or another, the Shomer acquires the kefel, meaning that if the object was stolen from the hands of the Shomer, from the house of the Shomer, and then we locate the Ganav, in some cases, again, there are all sorts of conditions, the Ganav pays the kefel to the Shomer. And that's only a blow. Shalach Yadav B'Melechas Reyehu. There was no Shlichus Yad. Again, I'm not going into all of this, but I just wanted to point out how the Sfas Emes wants to see a connection here between Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero and Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Makom. And he claims that the word Kesef has a double meaning. It means money or silver, actually, because in those days it was the metal. But it also means miloshen nichsaf. Nichsaf means that you have a tremendous desire for something. Like, for example, who can give me a sitter? Adon Olam, Shemalach Paternical Yitzin, assumptions. Wait, maybe you'll help me with it by heart. Do you know Adon Olam by heart? By now I should know Adon Olam by heart.
Let me get a sitter in the meantime.
Yeah. Adon Olam, Shemalach Paternical Yitzin. Anyway, that's what the word nichsaf means. Is it there or is it okay? Now I said Jeremy out. I feel badly about that. Okay, fine. Yeah, let's just see if it's.
Is that word nichsaf in the
Ben Adam? No, it's not there. So okay, I'll have to give you another source for the word nichsaf. Anybody have another source for the word nichsaf? You know, Azay Melech. No, just 1 second. Oh, here it is. The acharei kichlos hakol levado yimloch nora. So Rav Kook is famous for saying that kichlos hakol comes from a loshon ki lichlos means to desire something, and it's very similar to the word kisufim. Kisufim. I think the best translation for the word kisufim is longings. Does that mean anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not get off on too much of a tangent here, because we still have a lot to do today, and I want to get to Rabbeinu Bachai. But in any event, this Sfas Emes wants to say that Kesef is an allusion to what we call Ratzon, or cheshek, you know, when a person has a tremendous desire for something.
So that's what money is all about.
Yes. Everything, that's why the word kesef comes to the word kisufim, or nichsaf, which means to have tremendous desire. People have a desire for money. Now, it says kesef o kelim, correct? Wait, just give me a few minutes, Dave, because I didn't even get to the punchline of the Sfas 7, so I'm going to lose my trend of thought. So after you hear the punchline of the Sfas 7, then you'll hit me, okay? So, because otherwise we'll get nowhere, absolutely. And I know Jeremy has to leave in a few minutes, and I'm under tremendous pressure here. So, you know, the pressure is on, as they say. Okay. He says the Sfas that the creation of man himself is called Keli. Why is man called a Keli? Because he himself is a utensil, a means to Avodas Hashem. So man himself is given, number one, his body, his soul, his desires and his will, and all this is meant to be dedicated for what? For Avodas Hashem. That's how God created us. And every part of man which has potential to be dedicated and directed towards service of Hashem requires what he calls Shmira. Right? Just like you give Kesef or Kelim, which represent all of the parts of man, you give them to a shomer. Man is a shomer. Man is actually the custodian, and he has to be careful in guarding all that he has. Every single thing that could be a utensil, a vehicle for his Avodas Hashem, that means his kesef, which is his desire, and his kelim, all the parts of his body. Everything has to be carefully guarded. But the only problem is that there's a ganav, and the ganav is going to take away something from the shomer. Who's the ganav?
The Yetzer.
Correct, the Yetzer Hara. You could have written the text, the Yetzer Hara. He says the following, that if a person could save himself from the Yetzer Hara, then he deserves to get kefel. He deserves to be compensated. In other words, not only will Hashem give him the ability to continue to serve him with the capital H, but Hashem even gives him extra strength. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I do a mitzvah, I'll get schar for a mitzvah. But if I avoid doing an avera and I overcome my temptation, do I get schar for that? And the answer is written here in Parshas Mishpatim, because the shomer himself collects the kefel. He'll be paid double for his avoidance of the Yetzer Hara, for not letting the Yetzer Hara get the best of him. So they were able to get a hold of the ganav, and he says the following. He says, the Sfas Emes says that the best way of making sure that the ganav won't get a hold of you, that the Yetzer Hara won't get a hold of you, is to avoid what's called shlichas yad bepikadon. Shlichas yad bepikadon is when the shomer sees the object and he has such a desire to benefit from the object, even though he's enjoined from doing so, that he takes the object for his own pleasures. Litzarko, that's called. And that's a problem, because once the shalech yad bepikadon, the shomer uses the object for himself, then at that point he has an absolute chiyuv. He has to pay for the object, even if the object dies through some mitigating circumstance that's beyond his control. That's called onsen. That's a shalech yad.
He can't return the object.
Well, no. If he has the object, he can return it. But if he doesn't have the object, then he'll have to pay for the object, no matter what happened to the object. Normally, a shomer is only chayiv if the object is lost because of his negligence to some extent. And we won't go through all the dinim of shomer chinim, shomer sofer, shol, etc. But here is the one case where a shomer, no matter what level of shmir, even a shomer chinim, he's chayiv for onsim. It's an absolute chayiv to pay for the object if it's lost, even if there were circumstances beyond his control. Why? Because he was sholeach yad bepikadon. Says the Sfas Emes, what does shlichas yad bepikadon symbolize? It symbolizes a person who can't get a hold of his desires. Instead of having the kesef, which is the kisufim for Hashem, for avoda, instead he wants to take the object for himself and enjoy it, and he has no right to do so. And therefore, with that sin of being influenced and overcome by his tanugim of his desire for using something for himself, that which was given to him as a shmirah to be used for avodas Hashem, instead he takes it for his own selfish hedonistic pleasures, such a person is called sholeach yad v'pikadon. At that point he's chay for everything. He can't claim, well, you know, the ganav stole it. And therefore he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him that the following: Ba od lemaila al yidei achet umaknel al kefil v'hu inyan malas bal tshuva. He says the following: that if at some point the shomer, even though he was overcome by his yetzahara, and he was shaleach yad b'pikod, as we said, he used it for his own purposes, not directed for Hashem, nevertheless, if he does tshuva, and at that point he ceases to be Sholeach yad b'pikadon, a lot of halachs that he has to return the object in its to its right place, and then afterwards it gets stolen. So he says, in such a case, Hashem is machnehim kefel, meaning if we find the ganav, we're going to force the ganav to pay kefel again to the shomer, because in this case the shomer is a bal tshuva. And the Sfas Emes says that this idea that the bal tshuva gets kefel is representative of a basic concept in tshuva. And what's that? It's called zdonos nasim lo kizachuyos, that if a person does a chet and he does it deliberately, then if he does tshuva for that chet, then that chet which he performed deliberately is now going to become a zchus, a merit for him. So he gets a kefel portion. Why am I sharing with you this Sfas Emes? And now, David, the floor is yours. Because I want to show you how the Gedolei Yisrael looked into the parshios of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which at the surface level seem to be nothing more than, you know, the juridic... What?
Civil law.
Civil law, logical law, rational law, control society in such a way. But they saw deeper meanings. And that's why I want to dedicate today's shiur to two comments of the great Rabbeinu Bechaye, who was a Talmud of the Ramban, and his Pirush al Torah, one of which you have, I think, on your page. It should be at the beginning of your page. And Rabbeinu Bechaye sees messages in these mitzvos, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the 42 of the Eileh, that go way beyond Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, into the area of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David,
now, I just want to ask a question.
At least now I can hear your question.
Where is Kisufim? Because I know the word kishufim, which was witchcraft, isn't it a similar word?
Or no, I don't think so. No, I think that's with the shin and this with the samach.
That's what I'm asking.
Right. We're talking about kishufim with the samach, not kishufim with the shin.
So that's what I'm about to do.
Yeah. I'm sure that you can say all drush about the similarity of the way they sound. Rabosai, Parshas Mishpat begins with whom? With the Eved Ivri. Now the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Avodim tells us that there are two categories of Eved Ivri. One is Machru Beis Din, he was sold as an Eved by Beis Din, and the other is Mocher Atzmo Lirtzono, he sells himself on his own will. Ketzad?
Deliberately.
Ketzad? Ganav, he stole. The Elo L'Shalem, and he cannot repay the Gzela. Again, if he has the object, as George pointed out before, he returns the object. But he doesn't have the object, he doesn't even have the money to pay for the object, is Beis Din Mochrinoso. Beis Din will sell him as an Evet. The Elocha Ishmi Yisrael Shemochrinoso Beis Din El HaGanov Bilvad. Only a Ganov is sold for the Avera of Gneva. So the Torah has singled out this Avera of Gneva, and we want to study that on a, you know, on a deeper level in terms of our relationship to God, as a single Avera, a singular Avera. What's singular about it? It's the only Avera for which a person is sold as an Eved Ivri. The Alzesha Machu Bebezdin Hu Omer Ki Sikne Eved Ivri. Look how the Rambam is quoting our pasuk at the beginning of Mishpatim as referring to what kind of an Eved? Because again, we're going to soon see an Eved Ivri who sold himself.
Yeah.
What kind of an Eved Ivri are we talking about here?
Mocher
Al Yidei Beis Din for what Avera? For Gneva. Mocher Atzmo Ketzad. So the Rambam goes on to say, what's a case where he sold himself? Yisrael Sheheni Biyoser. a person became so poverty stricken, Nasnalo Torah Rishus Limkars Atzmo, he can sell himself and he becomes an Eved Ivri. But the Raman goes on to say that the conditions and the term of service as an Eved Ivri when he sold himself depends upon the agreement itself. He may decide to work for a month, for a year, for 10 years, it doesn't matter. That's a case of Machar Atzmo.
He could go 10 years?
He can go 10 years, he can go as long as he wants, until Yovel. Okay, that's a different halach of Yovel. Maybe we'll get to Yovel, but we'll have to see about Yovel. But in any event, our parasha says the Ram Kisik Nevet Ivri is referring to what kind of an Evet? Based
on.
He was sold him by Based. Okay. What else does the Torah tell us about an Eved Ivri that was sold by Bezdin because of his Geneva? The Torah tells us, number one, that he serves for how many years?
Six years.
If he refused to go free after 6 years, then we give him a little boring on his ear. That's called an Eved Nirtza. Not only that, the Torah tells us about an Eved Ivri here in our parasha, which the Rambam points out is Machru Bezdin, that his Adon, his master, could give him a shivcha. Now again, who is this shivcha? Is she a Jewish girl or not a Jewish girl?
No, she's not.
She's not a Jewish girl. She's a shivcha knanis. And that's also included here in the parish. But that only applies to Machru Bezdin. So if you take a look at your page, you'll see Rabbeinu Bachaye. Rabbeinu Bachaye is curious to know, and here you'll have it on page, in your Chumash on page 179, the Torah says that in the process of Nirtza, when this Eved refuses to go free at the end of 6 years, the Gisho El Hadeles O El HaMezuzah, and then they do the Ritzia. Says Rabbeinu Bachaye, based on the Medrash, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Pasachti Lo Pesach, God says that after 6 years, I've opened the door for you, meaning the door of freedom, Latzeis Chofshi, V'hu Sogar Olav Pesach Habayis Lios Eved Lefikach Yilkev Pesach. He closed the door of the door of freedom that God opened for him. He was liberated and he decides he wants to stay in. So at that door which was open for him, we're going to punish him at the door. Okay. Rabbi Mechai wants to take this above and beyond the Medrash. Now, most of this paragraph here is based on what's called sod, which means mystical ideas. But I still think that in this case, we can get something out of Rabbeinu Bachai, although we won't understand everything, but we'll get something out of it. And Rabbeinu Bachai says the following, that the word Hadeles has a sod to it. And the reason why the hay appears before the word delis, that's called a hey hayidia, it's because the Torah wants to emphasize this delis. This delis is a lot more than what you think it is. It's not just the door of a house. And hadelis, also he says, the Torah goes over this a second time in Sefer Dvarim, and it says badelis. Again, the word badelis with the base indicates a specific delis. And what is that? He says the following, that the word deles is made up of three letters that form actually a word, a letter in the 22 letters of the Torah, of the Hebrew alphabet, namely the word dalet. A lot of people think that dalet ends with a dalet, it ends with a tav. And what is the significance of the letter dalet? Every letter has significance to it, but dalet has a particular significance.
Well,
that's also true, but let's just go with Rabbeinu Bachaye right now, because you're going to just confuse me. Let's just see what we do know. And Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And what's the dalet in Echad? You remember in the Torah, it's a very large dalet. That dalet represents the relationship between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are given over to the oneness of God, right? We're totally dedicated to the one God, right? Shema Yisrael, may the people of Israel listen and hear that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Some people, based on the Shulchan Aruch, will try to take that dalid and exaggerate that dalid. I tried it and I broke my teeth. So again, we have some dentists here, so maybe that was good for the dentist. I don't know. But in any event, this dalid represents Knesset Yisrael, but specifically, it represents the connection, the opening or the gate between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that Shar LaShem, that dalid represents the shar that leads us to God, the gate that leads us to God. Asher HaTzadikim Yavobo, the tzadikim who seek to cling to God, they will enter into this shar. And he says, it also says El HaMezuzah in our pasuk, correct? And the mezuzah also has some, again, this is more mystical, it's called a misparkino, okay, we have to know a lot of mystical writings for that, but be that as it may, the mezuzah also represents entering into the Shar Hashem. And the trouble with this Eved Ivri is that he doesn't want to enter into the Shar Hashem. He wants to take upon himself a different kind of adnus. Right, the word Adon means master, but it could be Adon with a capital M or with a small M. And we are charged with the responsibility of entering to the Shar, to the large Mem. He instead would rather be under the tutelage and the control of a small M. He wants to be an Eved to an Eved rather than Eved to Hashem. And therefore, the mitzvah comes along and says, you know what? You will be an Eved until Yovel, and we're going to bore you at the mezuzah, at the delis, because you refuse to enter into the delis, not the delis of liberation, as we said in the name of the Medrash, but the delis that leads you to service of the Adon. Okay then? And Rabbo said, what I'd like to do is see if we can combine this Rabbeinu Bechai with the idea of Gneva. Because as we said before, the first 6 years, how did he become an Eved? Why did he become an Eved? For Gneva, he stole, and he was sold by Bezdin. By the way, Rabbeinu Bechai at this point goes into a mystical understanding of Yovel. Why does he go free at Yovel? And he says that Yovel, the 50th year, has some sort of impact in the higher mystical worlds, because when the 50th year comes around, then all the Elyonim, you know, there are different kinds of Sarim and Malachim up in the celestial heavens, they all, together with the Shvelim, with the human beings down here, they all accept the Adon HaAdonim, the Master of Masters. The Akiru HaKol, and Yovel represents that concept of the end of days when everybody will recognize Ki Lashem Ha'aretz U'Maloa. So if the Eved didn't succeed on his own and he became an Eved Nirtza, then at the end of the 50th year, at that point he's going to have to accept upon himself the mastery or the Adnus of the Adon HaAdon, because on that year, metaphysically, the entire universe, both upstairs and downstairs, the Elyonim and the Shvelim, will accept the Adon HaAdonim. But why Gneva? Why is Gneva the only sin for which we have a Mechira as an Eved? Now, in Numbers 3 and 4, you have two paragraphs in the name of the Chofetz Chaim. Both are the same, pretty much. One is the commentary of the Chofetz Chaim on the Torah, here in Parashas Mishpatim, and the other is a collection and anthology of what we call verloch, words from the Chofetz Chaim, that was created long after the Chofetz Chaim passed on. And it's fascinating how they put together his Divrei Torah, in this case, on the theme of Gneva. Now, I'm always wondering about the time pressure that we're under. Should we read through the text and then Jeremy has to go? Or should we just say it outside? You know, I know if David was here, he's not here today, but he would definitely want me to say it outside. What do you say? Right. If we can force him to stay, we're not going to open up the Dallas for him.
If he doesn't stay, we'll sell him as an Eved.
Yeah, as an Eved, right. So what I'll try to do is, I'm going to try to say it over my own words, but as I do so, it's like highlight certain words of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says the following: I can't begin to understand how the punishment fits the crime. This man was guilty of theft. That's an Aveira, lo signov. but let's just see what's going to happen as a result of his theft. We're going to sell him now. Bezdin's going to sell him because he can't afford to pay the Nignav as an Eved Ivri. And now the master is going to give him a Shivcha to be married to. Now, for a Jewish man to be married to a Shivcha is a violation of a law in the Torah called Kedesha. Kedesha. We'll try to find the pasuk as we go along. Anyway, Lotika Kedesha, whatever the pasuk is, let's not get caught up on that. We'll get to it soon.
With Yehuda, they used the word Kedesha. It was supposed to be a prostitute.
Yeah, no, the word Kedesha in the Isur Lav of Kedesha is a reference to a Shivcha Knainis. That if a man has a relationship with a Shivcha Knainis, a Jewish man, he violates a Lav of Kedesha. And now, you might say to me, okay, there's a trade-off here. Let's put two violations on the scale. Right? Like yesterday we spoke about, you know, violating Shechit on Shabbos or violating Nevela on Shabbos. You know, which is more severe? We said the Ran says, well, you eat many Nevelas is worse than one Shechit. You remember this? Here also, we're going to put two Averis on the scale. One is called Gneva, and the other is called relationship with a Shivcha, which is Kedesha. So you might say, don't know, maybe they equal each other out. I don't know. Well, we have no way of knowing which is more severe. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I have a proof to you that Kedesha is more severe. How do we know it? Because the halacha is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kanoim Pogimbo, that since she doesn't have the status as a Jewish woman, we would call it, in pardon the parlance, a shiksa. He's having a relationship with a shiksa. For that Kanoim Pogimbo, and we know that from which parsha of the Torah, both sides? Pinchas. And therefore, it's unbelievable what's going on over here. He says, Yesh bo hefsed she'ein b'chol arayas kemoso. He says, not only do we have a right to take the life of a person if we catch him hot during the crime of having a relationship with a shiksa, we're allowed to kill him if need be. That's how severe it goes. That's called kanoi pogbo. Again, I'm not advocating doing that today because, you know, if they don't put you to death, you'll be in an Israeli jail for the next 120 years. Okay, but anyway, according to strict halacha, kanoim pogimbo. But it's even more than that. Listen to this. Haben min akusis, the child that's born to akusis, eino b'no. And as this man is having a quasi-relationship, a marriage relationship with a shivcha that was given to him by his adon, and the children are not his. The children are also non-Jews. And they have a din of avodim. Says the Chafetz Chaim, isn't it a pella that for the sake of violating the Iser Gneva, we're going to allow the violation of the Iser Kedesha? It just doesn't seem to make sense. As a result of the Iser Kedesha, he's being boil aramis as kanoim pogimbo. As a result of the violation of Kedesha, his children are no longer his zera. And all this is in order to give him quid pro quo, some sort of opportunity to rectify and be the connected mida to do tshuva lechaper al avona gneva. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I cannot answer this question, but I can only derive a mathematical conclusion, and that is manura v'oyom avon zeshel gneva. Derive from this the conclusion that we don't even have a clue how severe is the violation of Gneva. And the Torah tells us that he's going to be sold as an Eved, he's going to be given a Shivcha Knanis, his children are going to become Avadim from this woman, and all this is because he cannot fix up his Avera of Gzela, he doesn't have the money to pay it, we're going to sell him as an Eved. Says the Chafetz Chaim, with the Ashkofa Sad Torah, according to the Ashkofa, the Torah that we should derive from this parasha, mutav, it's better, lechiot sheish shanim im shivcha knanis, let him live for 6 years with a shivcha, laholid mimen avodim, u bilvad, as long as he doesn't owe the master the money of the gneva. And therefore he says, ukshinis bonein od mira, this is the bottom of number 4, Shahanose Shivka Knanisha over Balav Shalosia Kadesha Mipnos Yisrael Val Gneva over Balav Shalosignovu Hitira Torah. The Torah was be willing to look aside and overrule the lav of losia kedesha, kedei letaken, so he'll be able to pay up for the lav of gneva and fix that up. Why? Because this is mamon shel achirim. You owe money to someone else. L'amadu mizeh kametzorech onim lizor b'mamon chaveru. And Rabosai, is this not the message of Parshas HaMabul? Ki mola ha'oretz chamos mipneihem. The Torah says that as a result of chamos, is therefore al lo nigzera lo nichtam gzardinam, the final gzardin for the Dor HaMabul, with all the averis that they violated, was because of Gezel. And the Sfasemis, again, coming back to Sfasemis, there in the parasha of the Mabul, he says that, you know what? The violation of theft is much deeper than we think. Again, we're on this hot trail of finding the overlap between Ben Adam L'chaver and Ben Adam L'mokum. He says that, you know what? This man, by stealing someone else's property, is denying a basic principle of our faith, about God. Eino yodea, he doesn't want to recognize Shakoach me'Hashem yisparach. Hakol chamos. Everything that he takes and he misappropriates for himself, he's denying God's power, because God says it's not yours. Who remembers the Gemara at the beginning of Ketzad Mevarchim? If a person eats an apple without making a bracha, hareze mal. He's me'ila, means he's embezzling. Everything belongs to God. Lashem ha'aretz u'maloa, until he makes a bracha. Says the Sfasemes. In Parshas Tshuva, it says, v'svadu eschatosim ashal osa. And that pasuk appears by Gezel. Why did the Torah choose the Aver of Gezel to present the mitzvah of tshuva? And the answer is because any time a person misappropriates any part of the universe, he's basically a gazlan. Gneva, gzela, is the paramount or the paradigm of all Averis. Because every Aver means I don't care about God's mandate and I'm going to violate His law. That's what Gneva really means. Gneva means I'm going to take what I think is for me, and I'm going to deny and rebel against authority. I was thinking, in the light of this Fasemes, before we go on to number 8 on the top left, to try to figure out the famous question in the Ila. There's really no Vidu in the Ila. There's only the short Vidu, but the long Vidu doesn't appear. But in the Nusach HaVidu, you'll see that one Chet is singled out, and we repeat it twice. Who remembers? L'ma nechdal mi? Oshek Yadenu. Oshek is another form of Gzela. The Gemara Bava Metzia Samach Aleph says that there's Oshek and Gzela. Why do we single out of all the Averis of the Torah on Ne'ilah, perhaps the highest, the paramount feel of the year, we speak about Gzela, about Oshek? The answer is because any sin really is a misappropriation of that which God gave us. All the kelim and all the kesef that God gave us, and we're a shomer, and we're supposed to dedicate it for Avodas Hashem, and we take it for our own personal desires. There's an amazing story here that's told by the Bnei Yisoschar. He was a Rebbe, a great Rebbe in Glitzia, and he tells a story that in a certain town, that the parents gave over a lot of education, you know, chinuch, what we call chinuch banim, to their young children. They used to send them to the base rabban, you know, to the Rebbe's houses, and the children were big masmidim. They were really dedicated to their learning, and they were davening with tremendous kavanah, these young children. They would say, Amen Yesh Me Rabba B'chol Kocham. They would yell out Amen. Have you ever seen this phenomenon with the Cheder children when they yell out Amen? And you know, if you don't have earplugs, you know, you're in trouble. And all of a sudden they grow older. And this is something that we can discuss today in our contemporary time. They go off the derech. Again, we're going back 100 plus years, but he doesn't use the term off the derech. But that's what he's referring to. He says, Mishafchim hayu b'midos gruos, mevatlim Torah, they stop learning Torah, and tefillah. Terrible things, chas v'shalom. What's going on? So they ask this gadol, this giant of chassidus, It doesn't make sense in that childhood we taught them so much Torah. And Hevel Piem Shel Tashbar is Ein Bo Chet. And then, instead of becoming the Gdolei Torah that they're supposed to be, what happened? What went wrong? Now, Rabosai, cover the, you know, if you're willing to play this game with me, cover the punchline. But try to give me the wrong answer here, which is the right answer for me. What do you think went wrong?
Any number of things.
I thought, but that's wrong, that maybe the food wasn't so kosher. Chazal say that macholas asuris mitamtimos es aliv. Maybe they weren't so careful about the kashrus laws. You know, they ate in a restaurant where they shouldn't have eaten. That's not what he says. Listen to this. He says, you know what the problem was? Not that the food wasn't kosher, but that the money that was acquired with which they bought the food was acquired through gezel. It was embezzled money. And he says the following: Havoseim hechilos omamon shel gezel shesiglu liatzmon al yidei masu matan she'eno be'emuna. Again, we're not talking about a classical thief. You know, somebody broke into someone's house and he stole his leichter. You know, like they did to us. You know, after we went all the way to England to buy these leichter. You know, to replace the leichter that we lost, my grandmother's leichter that was stolen. You know, we're still looking for it. If you're ever in Old Jaffa and you pass these silver stores, look for our leichter. We're always looking for them. We think they'll still pop up after 20 years.
What are leichter, sir?
I'll give you a picture of them. Okay. What?
Candlesticks,
right? Silver candlesticks, laughter. Anyway, this is not an outright thief. He's talking about people that weren't honest in their business dealings. You know, they were a little bit swindlers, you know what I'm saying? And therefore, as a result, that's worse than feeding their children on kosher food, and therefore, it brings about in the children taivos umidos gruos. And by the way, Rabosai, you'll see something similar in number 9. This is also one of the Hasidic Rebbe's, the Abbas Chaim, and he writes that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noah, Kates kol basar bolofanai ki mola ha'aretz chamas mifnehem. Rashi says, lo nigzar dinam el al geza. Why? Lefa'amim, sometimes God will have compassion. This is called extension of judgment, meaning that I give you an extension, you should really be punished now. But God has compassion, and He says the following, unbelievable. I get shudders when I think about this. When Hashem staves off punishment, very often it's because He looks into the future, as only God can do, and He sees that down the line, the children, the grandchildren, somewhere down the line will be great tzaddikim. For example, Rashi says that when Moshe killed the Mitzri, Vayifen Ko V'Cho, Rashi says he looked, Moshe looked into the future generations and he saw nothing good is going to come out of this Mitzri. And therefore he killed him. He says, I don't understand. Here's an entire generation of Dora Mabel. And they were all completely wiped out except for Noach and his family. Where's the Midas Erech HaPayim? Where's God's Midah of staving off justice and maybe looking into the next generation or 10 generations down the line, somebody good is going to come back for the Mabel? He says, no. Kates kol basar. Kates means the end, kosa. And he wrote, Ebisofam shelo yetze mehem zara mealia. That from the mabul, no one good is going to come out. Only Hashem could say that. But why? Kates kol basar bolifanai. Ki moa haaretz chamas. Because if there's chamas, if people are cheating each other.
If they're violent.
Say it again.
Violent.
Violent, okay, violent. I don't know if it has to be violent, but let's say violent, you know, again. Hakimola aretz chamas mipneihem, vekevan sheparnesasam hu mignevu gzela. How do they support their families? Through non-kosher means, meaning I don't mean non-kosher food, I mean non-kosher swindling. I efshar lotzeis mehem zeratov. Wow. Hashem says nothing good is going to come out of that. You see the severity of Bein Adam Lechavero. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to another Rabbeinu Bechai, but let me just mention number 10 is the Drash Moshe of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he has a Yesod. He says, why is Gezel so severe? He says, when people steal, that's really Kfira. Why? Misha Mamin Bashem, if a person believes in God, yodea, he knows that God is going to allot him whatever he's meant to be allotted. And lo yeh lo yoseh mikafi ma sheyirtzah kodesh baruch hu laseh slog. He'll never get more, not 1 cent more than what God wants to give him. The afim yirtzah likach be'isur, if he'll try to steal something, v'meil lo yeh lo shum taiva mizah, Hashem will make sure that he gets no benefit from them. And on the contrary, God is going to take away something that he was meant to get. The other yotzi ma'osav al kol ma sheziva Hashem yisbarach litztaka v'chadome. K'mosha other motzi l'schora. He'll have to spend that money in other ways, whether he likes it or not. And all this is because he thinks that he can become the Baal Bayis for himself. He's going to be in the control, tower and decide by stealing how much money he's going to get. And if you look into Rav Dessler, which is on number 11, he quotes the Reishis Chachma, who says that when a person violates an Avera, or he doesn't fulfill a mitzvah, anytime he does that, whatever Avera, whatever mitzvah it is, he's gozel me'ashchina, he's stealing from God. Why? He says the following, that whatever we see in reality in this world, this is a kli, it's a gift, an instrument that's given by God, bestowed upon us to serve Him. And in this case, the usher, the wealthy person, is given money in order that he should give tzedakah. If he doesn't use the money to share it with those who are poor, then he's gozel es ha'ani. He's stealing from the aniyim. And that's what Yeshayo Anavi says, gzela es ha'ani bibateichem. You're actually, you rich people are holding on to stolen goods. That's unbelievable. God gave it to you and you are meant to safeguard it until such time as you give it to the poor people. And if you refuse to do so, then you violate gzela. You are really stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate mafkid that gives you as a custodian the rights and the kalim to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, very similar to the sfasemis that we began with today. And if a person is moel behegdesh, he takes all this material and all this wealth that's really hegdesh, that's given to him from Hashem, and he misappropriates it, taking it for himself, that's me'ilah. And therefore, every single utensil that's given and bestowed upon a person from Shamayim, it's not given for his own, to him for his own personal selfish pleasures, but rather to be used for avodas Hashem. And if he takes it for himself, he's a gazlan, he's a shalech yad v'pikadon, he's taking the kli avoda that are really the utensils of his work of avodas Hashem. And therefore, he doesn't deserve a bracha, the bracha is going to be taken away from him. And it's unbelievable that the Gemara says that in Masech Tanita, that before the Vlad, before the fetus is formed in its mother's womb, there's already a heavenly voice that declares whether he's going to be an usher or not. And what that means is that if the declaration is that he's going to be wealthy, it means that he's going to get all these kalim that he can use if he is, up to standard, and he's going to dedicate them for avodas Hashem. And this refers not just to Ashira's monetary wealth, but it also refers to other kinds of wealth. A person can be wealthy with what we call kisharon. Kisharon means talents. With kochos ha-nefesh, God bestowed upon him all sorts of abilities. And the question is, how will he use these abilities? And therefore, when he comes into this world, the Malach gives him a shvua, imposes upon him an oath, Tehi tzaddik v'alti rasha. If you're familiar with the Sefer Tanya of the Alter Rebbe, the first perek of the Sefer Tanya is dedicated to explain this Gemara. And what it really means is that, like Bezalel, you remember that we're going to learn about Bezalel in about 2 weeks' time. Re'u Bezalel. What's Re'u? Re'u means take a look at someone who's a paradigm for you. He was granted tremendous abilities and talents. God bestowed upon him the ability to be a super architect. And he was a super architect, and he took those abilities and he dedicated them to build the Mishkan. That's exactly what we have to do and how we have to see all the great gifts that Hashem bestowed upon us. That's the Rabbeinu Bechai number one. And now we get on to Rabbeinu Bechai number two, which is on page two, which I don't know if you have, but if not, you'll have to listen. Baal Peh, it's pretty short. Don't get nervous. And here you have to open up to Pasuk Chaf Vav, which is here on page 181. This is called Yitziah B'Shein V'Ayin. If you remember, if the Adon hits the Eved and he injures his eye or his ear, then the law is Lachofshi Yishalchenu, he goes free. This is called Hapolas Shein V'Ayin. What message perhaps can we find in this parasha, this dimension of the parasha of Eved Ivri? And the answer is that he goes free B'Shein V'Ayin.
This is either
an Eved Ivri. No, I'm sure I may have made a mistake about that. This is an Eved Kenani.
Right.
This is an Eved Kenani. My mistake. Thank you, Michael, for pointing that out to me. Oh, so what message can we find, as we said, Benon Lechaveru, Benon Lemokom? So here we have an unbelievable statement of Rabbeinu Bechai. Ki yake ish es ein avdo. Mitzvah Satorah, says the Rabbeinu Bechai, the Eved Ivri, she yetze b'shein v'yayin. V'hatam bozeh.
You say Eved Ivri.
Did I just say Eved Ivri again? Yes. I made the same mistake. At least I'm consistent.
Okay.
You have to give me credit for that. I'll read it again. Mitzvah Satorah, the Eved Knani, she yetze b'shein v'yayin. Okay. V'hatam bozeh. Mipnei shelo nishtabdu ela b'shein v'ayin. What I think he's saying is that they, in a minute I'll tell you who the they is, you could probably already guess, they became avodim because of shein v'ayin. Who's the they?
The Bnei Yisrael.
No. Who's cursed to become? Okay. To become Avodim.
Knan.
And Knan is the descendant of Cham. Oh. You remember? Oh. Shednemar. What was the Avera of Cham? Vayarach. Okay, so here, if somebody doesn't mind opening up to Parshas Noach, you'll tell me what page it's on. I don't have the time to do that right this second. I think it's Perek Tes of Sefer Breishis, maybe Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Or that thereabouts, maybe Chaf Beis, Perek Tes. Can anybody tell me where it is in the Blue Chumash?
Yes, page 21.
21. Thank you so much. 21. You save me a little time when time is crucial. Okay. He says the following: Vayar. Okay. Which part of the body is being used now?
Ayin.
The Ayin. Correct. Vayar Chom Aviknan is Ervas Oviv. Vayaged. Which part of the mouth? Oh, sorry, I gave away the answer. Which part of the body is being used now?
Yeah.
The peh, the mouth, correct? So this avera of cham is performed with two parts of the body: the eyes and the mouth, correct? Yeah. And now, as a result, if you'll take a look fast forward, vayomer, and now Noach declares chafei or knan. Eved avodim yel le echav. Okay, vayhi knan eved lomo. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, ra'a bi'enav, right, he looked at his father's erva, v'higid bipiv, v'niskalel, he was cursed, al zeh, or knan, eved avodim yel le echav, oh, now wait a second, Rabbi Osai. If the sin of Chom is with the eye and the mouth, then who can finish my sentence?
The
rectification of the sin, okay, the tshuva, that's what we call tshuvas ha-mishkal, is always going to be a, you know, we're going to hit him in the eye and the mouth. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, v'keivan shalaku. Once these avodim, or any of it, right, was hit, was smote, if there is such a word, be'evarim achotim, so the sinning organs now are being given shmeitzin, they're being hit, patch, is niftar haguf me onish avodis. Now he goes free and he's no longer an Eved. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you guys, you're not jumping out of your seat, so I guess I didn't do a good job pedagogically. But in any event, he writes the following here. He says that there's an insight of the Shem Mishmuel. That's the Sokhachov Rebbe's son. I mean, the Sokhachov Rebbe of Noah points, in Parshas Noach, he says the following. That Inyan Shibud Eino Shayach El Lechomer. He says the concept of being Meshabed only applies to the physicality. Kamo Behema, like an animal, is Meshubedesli Odon. Aval Beruchnius, he says in the spiritual dimension, Eino Roy Lishtabed. He says, Vehine Chush Haraos, the power of sight, Vadibur, and speech, Hein Kochos Hayose Ruchni Biodon. These are the most spiritual, physical senses of man. Valkane, Ish Yeshbo Kochos Ruchanim, Elu Eina Yochel Royal Ishtabit. If a person uses his eyesight and his power of speech in the proper way, then he shouldn't be Mishtabit. Rak Basher Pogam Bechushim Elu. But if he soils, he abuses, okay, I like that word, Harvey, better word than I had, abuses those two sources, those two senses. Al Yidei, again, he's interpreting this pasuk here that we see in Noach, Vayar Vayaged. So he is now abusing or misusing both of these senses. Al Kainis Kalkel Lihishtabed. Now that the spiritual have become purely physical, and he's abused them, and he's soiled them, and now they're rotten to the core, now he's Royal Lishibut. Ach Kasher Hipil Shino Osima Es Enov. He doesn't quote Rabbeinu Bachai, but I'm sure he knew about Rabbeinu Bachai. Nismare kachet v'shuv eno roilo lishtavit. Okay, that's wild. That again, if you remember this, you know, I'll give you a lot of credit for that. But just remember this concept that if the spiritual is being misused, then through the rectification, he deserves to go free of shibud, because the shibud is only relevant, is only appropriate for the physical. But here's the punchline, I think. V'yeshli lahosif od dvarim. I want to add my own, he says. And what's that? Ki kol ramach evarim sheba adam. All of the 248 limbs of the human being, heim leumas ramach mitzvos aseh. In other words, every one of the mitzvos aseh parallels one of the limbs. He says each one of the 248 limbs has some sort of spiritual power or source, and that makes them spiritual. But kasherim gashmiim, as soon as those limbs become totally physical and antithetical to the spiritual world, ein bam koach, they no longer have this ability, lekabel koach ruchni. They don't have it anymore. And this is an amazing chiddush here, which I'd like to quote to you the language of the Medrash, which I think he's referring to. He doesn't mention it, but Omar of Ada, this is a Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Ki Teitzei, it says, Masayim varboim ushmonim mitzvos aseh yesh betor, there are 248 mitzvos aseh, kemiyin evarim sheba adam, ubechol yom v'yom tzorkim ala adam. It's unbelievable. On a daily basis, the limbs cry out. You know, we're giving like animation or personality to each one of the limbs. I say, fulfill those mitzvahs, k'desha tichye, so that we will live b'schus ha-mitzvahs v'tarich yomim. So it's an unbelievable thing. The mitzvahs are yelling out, fulfill the mitzvahs, so that you'll get the life of Arichas Yomim, which may be the spiritual life of Gan Eden. And the physical limbs of the person are also calling out to do the mitzvahs. Then he says, Ushlosh Meos Veshishim V'Chamesh Mitzvahs Losaseh. Well, everybody can guess that. The 365 Losaseh, that's Kenevi what?
Days of the year.
Exactly, the days of the year. Kaminin Yomos Hachama. Bechol Yom V'Yom Shachama Zorachas. Every day when the sun rises until Achi Shokas till it sets. So Vachas V'Omeres Li Odom. Imagine the day itself has a personality and screams out to the person, goes, Rani Olecha, Bemishi Giel Yomech Liom Zeh, you've gotten to this day and you're still alive. Al Tavar B, Es Avera Zos, don't violate any Avera that's connected this day of the year. Ve'al Tachria Oscha Vesa Olam Kulo Lekaf Chova, you'll bring down the entire earth. Rabbo says an amazing thing here. There's a relationship between the mitzvahs and the limbs of a person, between physicality and spirituality. And therefore, when we come to the Eved, and we say that he was cursed as an Eved, according to Ben Bechai, not because of Gneva in this case, we're talking about an Eved Kanani, that we had already an Eved Ivri, but because of the Avera of Cham, then there are two senses, right? There's eyes and mouth that were misused for the Avera of Zilzul B'Kvod Aviv, etc., etc. And as a result, the spiritual connection in these two limbs has been weakened. And once it's been weakened, then it's Shibud. The freedom from that Shibud is the rectification of Shein V'Ayin when Laka, when these two get their punishment. And if this be the case, I want to share with you an amazing Chiddush, and maybe with this we'll have to wrap it up, I see it's late, of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. You all heard of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He's the great mashgiach, well, the Rosh Yeshiva, but also he was a mashgiach type of personality of Yeshivas Mir. And he says the following: Gufo shel Adam, the physical body of a person, veivarav, and his limbs, heim achroim ve'aravim varevim lavonosav ulipshav. Unbelievable. He says that the physical body and the limbs of a person have a personality here. They are personally responsible to guarantee that there will not be any avera. And this sounds wild. I mean, we would say the intellect makes all those decisions for good or for the opposite. But he says no. It's the physical limbs, vehem ne'noshim, and that's why the physical limbs will be punished. V'al yadam, and if the limbs go the other way, the positive way, ba ha'adam lideis chutz. And therefore, he says the Vilna Gaon compared the physical body of a person to anias hatzola, to like a lifeboat that's sent out to the middle of this raging sea to save the people. In other words, the body of a person can either bring the person down or bring him up. How do we attribute decision making in the good or the bad to limbs of the body? He says it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutes. David HaMelech declares, Chashavti drachai, I had a plan. Drachai means to go to a certain way. V'yashiva raglai, and then my feet turned back. Elei dusecha, to fulfill your law. So the Medrash says, Omar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol yom ha'yisi mechashev v'yomer l'bokom ploni ani olech. I'm going to a certain place of base. Dira plonis ani olech, probably for political, reasons. V'ha'yu raglai mevios osi l'bote knesios v'bote midrash. My feet had a different decision, and they decided to bring me to the shuls and to the study halls. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Kloma, what does this mean? Kol ha'cheshbono shechishev David l'heichon l'leches. David had a lot of calculations and reasons why he wanted to go to a certain place. Didn't make a difference. Bo Raglov, the big lakol. His feet came along and canceled all his programs. Volichu lebeis hamedrash. Lahem koch. To the feet there's a power. Yoser mishiyesh lemachshavosav ulutzonosav. It supersedes that of his intellect. Umi nasalem koch zeh. How did the limbs of a body get that power? David HaMelech Biatzmo, he himself gave his limbs, his legs, that power. Ayidesha Hir Gilam, because he trained them. Laleches Lebotek Nesis Botek Midrashal, says David, says another pasuk in Tehillim. Hamalame Yodi Lekarvetz Ba'osei Lemelchoma. Lo Adam Milcham El Ayodayim Milchomos. Vetz Ba'osei Lemelchomos. Because he trained his hands to go out in battle and win in battle, and they now win the battle. V'cheinu, and the same thing applies in a different battlefield, Melchemes HaYetzer. Al Yehei Adam Savur, says the Rashi, V'shegufo Eino Eino ela emtsai. Don't think that the body is nothing more than a medium to carry out the decision of the mind. Ukli avoda bilvad. Ella, no. Gufo ve'evarov polim mikoch atzmam. They work on their own. It's an independent source. V'yecholim, and they can do one way or the other. Lachtiyam chas v'shalom olat silam hakol kedash echincham v'limudam. So if we train our body, then our body takes over. And this, my friends, and here we'll call it a day, is the insight of the great chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Frank, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. In his Har Tzvi, he wrote a commentary on the Haggadah. And there it says, V'rotza, again we go back to our, what page was it, was ours on? 179 was it? V'rotza Adonov es ozno b'matzea v'yavodo liola. Why do we bore a hole into his ear? Says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochanan Zakai, Ozen Sheshama Al Har Sinai, Lo Tignov, Veholach, Vegonav, Tirza. I believe Rashi quotes this, let's see if I'm right. Number Vav. Well, there's a lot of Rashis on this page. Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you see it? It's about 8 lines down, 10 lines down from the top on the right side in Rashi. Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ozen Zosh Shama Lashina Lo Signov, Vaholach Vigonav, Tirza. Okay, this is amazing. Says the Har Tzvi, that's from Tzvi Pesach Frank, he says the following, Ma Toli Achet Biozen, why is the Chet attributed to the ear? What does it mean? Ozen sheshama, sheshama, etc., etc. Tirza. It's just we're punishing the ear. What does that mean? Nira, ta'kol toli b'shmir. Everything depends upon what we hear. To be emes kasher zochim lishmo dvar Hashem. If we have the great golden opportunity of hearing the words of God, tzorich lasos ishtadlus. We have to work very hard to guarantee shadvar mikonsu, that the words will enter in through the ears and penetrate and spread out l'chol ramach ha'ivar for all the limbs of the body. V'mashviya karoy, if we listen carefully and properly, harei kol aguf mishtabed l'kiyum ha-mitzvahs, the entire body becomes committed to fulfill the mitzvahs. V'chol ha'ivar mizurazim lahotzi l'fol ma'sheshoma. But imashviya Eino mechayeves lezirus lekima mitzvus muchach. If somehow he's not excited about doing the mitzvahs, then retroactively this indicates, this proves sheshama rak mikufyo. He only heard it on the outside, meaning superficially. Kida amri inchi, like the famous phrase, nichnas biozin echad biyotzem biozin sheni, went through one ear, came out the other. Mishum kach eino osishum roshem. The words that he heard make no impact al shar ha'ivarim on the rest of his body. Vadvarim kilu nisharu rak biozen levat. It's as if the ozen took possession over the words of God and kept them for themselves. V'lachem, and therefore says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ozen sheshama, that ozen that heard, meaning the ozen heard, but not the rest of the body. And if the ozen is going to try to monopolize these words and keep them for himself instead of being a conduit to bring the words of God to spread throughout the body, then we know that there was no klita, there was no reception on the part of the body, on the part of the soul of the person. He wasn't inspired by these words. This ozen is not capable of doing God's bid and becoming a conduit to bring the word of God for the entire body. And in effect, what we're really saying is that probably this ozen, instead of being trained to hear the words of God, it was trained to hear other things, like nivol peh, chas v'shalom, lashon hara, and all these terrible averis. And therefore, as a result, the ear is not sensitive, is not tuned. We have to tune our ears. That's the message of the Sfasemis today, and the message of Rabbeinu Bachai. If you don't tune your ears properly, so that the ears become a conduit to accept the word of Hashem and spread throughout the body, then that's not good. The ear has to be punished. Now, why punish the ear? And the answer is because, as Rav Chaim Shulevitz says, the limbs of the body become the conduit of sin. Or, in Mirtz Hashem, if we'll dedicate the limbs of our body and train them properly, they become the conduit to fulfill the mitzvah Hashem. So I just want to end with a tefillah that we should all be zocher mitzvah Hashem to train our bodies so that our bodies make the right decisions. What we discussed today are two fundamental messages in Hashkafa, and they both come from the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, and they reflect and shed light on Bein Adam L'Chavero as an opening and a transition into Adam L'Makom. Number one, Rabbeinu Bachai says that the delets refers to some sort of a spiritual delt that allows us to enter into the Adon HaAdonim. This Eved is not willing to do so. And all this has to do with his Avera of Gneva, which is the paramount or paradigm of all the Averas. Because what a Gneva means is that he wants to take things for himself, all the Kalim and all the abilities that God bestowed upon him to be used, to be safeguarded for use for Avodas Hashem. He misappropriated them for his own purposes. And therefore, he's a Sholeach Yad B'Pikadon. As a result of this Gneva, we're going to sell him in such a way, he's an Eved Ivri, that he's allowed to have a relationship with whom? With the Shivcha Knainis. Violating the Iser Kedesha, which is Kanoim Pogimbo, which means that the Zera is not his. And all this is because of Gneva. Gneva has such a powerful impact that who knows why the children are going off the derech if there's some non-kosher, you know, laundering of money and all that stuff that goes on out there. Oh, that's the mob. That's the Dor mob. Hashem says, nothing good is going to come out of these guys. Kate's Kolbasar Bolifanai. And the second message is the message not of Eved Ivri, but the message of Eved Knani. That the Eved Knani, going back to the time of Chum, who was cursed with Avdus, was not able to use those two senses, two centers of spirituality in the physical body, the eyes and the mouth. And therefore, he's Yotze B'Shem V'Ayin. If we'll use all the organs, the limbs of our bodies properly, if we'll train them, they'll be able to receive the Kabbalah Satorah. The ears will become a conduit to bring it all the way to the rest of the Avarim. So as Rav Chaim Shulevitz is concerned, the Avarim will train us to decide to do the right thing. They'll decide to take us to the Batei Knesios and to the Batei Midrashos. May it be his rot somewhere to fulfill that great thing.
Interesting that your morning shear and the shear are connected.
Yeah, that's because
if nothing can get in.
Yeah.
Who was it who said about the Eved Knani and Chum?
That was Rabbeinu Bachai.
Yes. The second one was Rabbeinu
Bachai. You can see it here on this page. Right. It's Chaf Aleph Chaf Vav in Rabbeinu Bachai. And the one who expands upon is the Shem Mishmuel in his commentary on Parshas Noah. So we put together a lot of different things here. It's not all on one page, but alright, have a great day, everybody.